The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a show for you today, let me tell you. We're going to be talking about relief effort in Nepal. Everybody knows what happened in Nepal. They had an earthquake and people are dying and dead. But there's a lot of work, really good work going on over there. Some things which are miraculous even. So we'll be talking today about that. The portion of the week is the portion of Emors, chapter 16 and following in the book of Leviticus. We have an awesome Hasidic story. We're playing a cappella music again this week because we're in the days of Sephira, quasi-mourning for Jewish people. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Four Jerusalem police were wounded when an Arab terrorist drove his car into them. The terrorist tried to flee, but was arrested. All four officers have been released already from the hospital. ISIS forces fighting in Syria have taken control of an area just over a mile from the Israeli border in the Golan. Two mortars fired from Syria landed in Israel, and there's debate whether it was unintentional or whether they were directed. Israel's keeping an eye. Israel leads the way with over 250 rescue volunteers helping in Nepal after the earthquake last Sunday. Two teens were rescued by Israeli teams from under tons of debris after being stuck for 5 days. Hundreds of Israelis in Nepal have been flocking to the Chabad house in Kathmandu, the one place they feel safe in the wake of the destruction around them. So far, 5,500 people have been declared dead, and miraculously, all but one of hundreds of Israelis who were hiking in the country's mountains or in the devastated capital of Nepal have been accounted for, and the Israelis have sent copters to go look for this one Israeli. The Chabad house has served more than 5,000 meals since the quake last Sunday, and we'll be talking about this more in this half hour. Israel allowed 14,000 tons of building material into Gaza, the largest single shipment since last summer's Hamas terror war. Hamas is using much of the materials to rapidly rebuild its terror tunnels to attack Israel. And finally, Indiana became the second state to pass a bill that formally opposes the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, known as BDS, against Israel. Tennessee lawmakers approved a similar measure last week. Universities in those two states may not pass resolutions calling for the administration to divest their portfolios of companies doing business with Israel. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on live with Rabbi Menachem Posner, who is a staff editor of Chabad.org. And today we're going to be talking about the relief effort that's going on in Nepal, which has suffered a tremendous earthquake. How are you today, Menachem?
Thank God, very well.
Good to hear, good to hear. So it seems pretty much incredible to me that a private organization such as a Chabad house should be like right on the edge of relief efforts in this massive scene of destruction, which people have already witnessed and seen on television and whatnot. So how is it that Chabad is, like, right there?
Well, I think that the answer is twofold. On a logistical level, Chabad is unique in that it's a local organization being staffed by people who have been living in Nepal for decades and have a very strong understanding of the local, the lay of the land, the culture, and what it takes to get things done. At the same time, the Chabad Shluchim are part of a wider network of thousands of Chabad Shluchim all over the world with logistical help that comes along with it. So they're uniquely placed that they're a local organization with an international support, which means that the second that Chabad Shluch in Nepal is working, you know, locating people who are lost and, you know, doing all these things, he has support from elsewhere, from headquarters, helping with fundraising and whatever else needs to be done. That's one half of it. And then I think the other component is, and this goes to the heart of what Chabad is, that, you know, Chabad, being a Hasidic group, follows the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidism. And that our purpose really is to do others spiritual and physical favors. And therefore, if there's someone who needs a favor and there's Chabad on the scene, it's only natural that they'll do whatever they can to help those people. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Okay. It seems a bit incredible to me. I'm thinking in mind also just this natural disaster and the national disaster that happened in Thailand a couple of years ago, where Chabad was also at the front of relief efforts. And there's one other one, which I can't remember where it was, that again, Chabad was at the forefront. How is it the Chabad houses don't get destroyed? other than the divine providence of God watching them. Is there some sort of, guidelines in where you put your Chabad house?
We'd like to wish there were. I mean, unfortunately, when you asked that question, it brought to mind the terrible events in Mumbai in India, where initially they contacted the Chabad Center to find out what they would be doing for others. And after realizing we couldn't get through to them, we realized that there was something wrong there. And then as time progressed, we realized how serious it was that they were actually the epicenter of one of the attacks. But generally speaking, we like to, you know, there is a rule in the Talmud that Shluchim Mitzvah Eina Nizakim, that messengers who are on a mission to do a mitzvah, to do a divine commandment, to do something good, receive divine protection. And this, you know, certainly must be part of what's, you know, keeping these people in Nepal going. I mean, I've been in contact with a number of people there who have just really been, it's been crazy. You know, very often there's no phone connection. And when we are connected, it's through various social media. And they're like, sorry, I can't talk now. We are, you know, in a helicopter flying to this remote area where, you know, it's impassable. Or, sorry, I've been away for 12 hours because I was driving in a Jeep trying to get to this area or that area. So they're really going beyond, the safe and areas wherever they are and just going wherever it needs to be and doing whatever needs to be done to help people out.
Mm-hmm. It seems that this idea of helping people isn't just limited to Chabad. And looking at a graph yesterday of foreign countries, meaning foreign to Nepal, and their participation in relief effort. So the United States far outweighs everybody as far as sending money goes. And Israel far exceeds sending rescue teams to help. So talk about that a little bit, this idea of...
It's interesting because you reminded me just yesterday, Chani Lifshitz, who directs Chabad in Nepal together with her husband, Rabbi Chesky Lifshitz. So she kind of put this emotional post out on Facebook in Hebrew in which she describes, you know, her experience visiting these people who've lost everything that they had, which was very little to begin with. You know, their mud homes had crumbled and they had nothing. And she describes, you know, her experience going there and giving out food and just, you know, hugging the people. And then one thing she said is that, you know, we, the Jewish people, are not going to forget about you. We'll do what we can to help you. And the reason is because we ourselves have suffered so much. Jewish people, it's not a far, a distant memory for us to know what starvation and suffering is like. It was not that long ago that many of our people were terribly oppressed in many places, and this, you know, very, very, you know, strong, strikes a very deep chord in the Jewish memory. And in addition, we know that we're here for a purpose, and our purpose on earth is to help other people. You know, whether we, you know, the words of the prophet to be Orla, going the light unto the nations, or into, you know, the terminology which we use in the daily prayers of Lasake and Olam, this concept of Tikkun Olam, of repairing the world. So it's part and parcel of who we are as Jews, is to help other people.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to segue into my next thing, is that Chabad efforts and Israel's efforts are not just helping Jews and Israelis, they're helping Nepal.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the people who I've been speaking to, so they're really doing whatever we need to do, and a number of them seem to be alternating. One day he's on a mission rescuing people wherever they are, stranded tourists, who are not uniquely Israelis, but people who need to get out. And at the same time, the next day he's there handing out dal bhat, which is this simple, easy to prepare staple of Nepali food, and water and watermelons. And these are the same people who are really doing both things as they need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's deal with maybe up on the technical things. In looking at a world map, I would say that Nepal's not in the middle of no place. Nepal's on the other side of no place. It is really remote. It's in the middle of the Himalayas. How is it that resources are being brought into Nepal?
We know that Israel immediately sent airplanes with supplies and personnel, and I'm sure that many other countries are doing the same. I've been told that there's been an airport backlog, which I think happens often in these disaster-stricken areas, where they have these small airports that cannot handle the amount of traffic that needs to come in, which is a problem. And I also understand that these aid organizations are really trying to marshal local resources. I know that when Chabad is giving out food, as of now, it's primarily local-grown food that they have or that they're trying to procure in whatever stores they can find open. People just don't have the money even to buy it. So it's really both.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And I mean, it's also, it seems like this is where you're talking about recovery, you're talking about saving people and talking about providing. It seems to take a whole lot of energy on an individual. This is like fever pitch going on for a week. How many Chabad volunteers are there working together, do you know?
So I don't know the full number. The literature probably had some staff members with them at the time, and certainly more have joined. The people who I know one who came from England, someone who had experience working with Chabad there in the past, and this was valuable help. I know from England, from France, from Brooklyn. So they really, in the days following, they flew in key volunteers. And then, of course, yesterday they were joined by Rav Moshe Kotlarsky, who is the vice president of Merkez Minyanei Chinuch, the central Chabad educational arm, who was in the Far East and came by for a day to coordinate efforts and see what could be done. So he came. I know that Rabbi Chaim Eliezer Ashkenazi from Thailand came, and I understand that he is a person who is responsible for a lot of logistics of Chabad in the Far East, which will hopefully be useful here as well. Things like, you know, he's a lot of the commercial kosher food preparation and other things are things that he's coordinated. And I assume that the expectation is that he'll use this expertise going ahead in overseeing whatever efforts will be done in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you just
although that's speculation on my part.
Okay, fair enough. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Rabbi Menachem Posner. He is a senior correspondent and editor for Chabad.org. And if you haven't checked out Chabad.org, I definitely recommend it. Go check out Chabad.org. They have everything about Judaism on Chabad.org, and plus some other stuff that's not about Judaism too, which is also good stuff. I noticed a picture yesterday that came flying through my inbox of the Lifshitz children from Kathmandu being entertained by the president of Israel. And I believe that this picture was taken in Jerusalem, not in Kathmandu. So the Lifshitz thought that it would probably be best to airlift their kids out of Kathmandu?
Yes, that's right. I guess there's just, it's been very, very crazy and very hectic. And the Chabad Center, where they live, is the epicenter of everything. From people, hundreds of people coming through, which is it's always a chaotic place with a lot of people. But I guess they felt that it was just too much emotionally for the children to be there at that time. And so they're staying with family in Israel until things fell down a little bit.
Just to put that in perspective, things must be really chaotic because Kathmandu is famous for having the largest Seder on the first day of Passover in the world and the highest point in the world, with thousands of people coming to participate in a Seder. So things must be really pretty involved. Have you actually been personally in contact with the Lifshitzes?
Yes, I've had phone conversations with other Lifshitz, as well as some of the other volunteers, when we're able to catch them, which often is for brief snippets of time. I don't know when they sleep. I don't think they sleep. A brief snippet of time in the middle of the night when they just, you know, you call and call and call until they can finally pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm. So how's their morale? How's their outlook on the whole deal? I mean, this is their face. They're looking right into the face of devastation.
Right. So I think probably a lot of it really has to set in for everyone over there. They've just been working on overdrive all week, doing whatever they can to keep things in mind. But then I think they certainly are not saved by hard work. They've had tremendous challenges in the past. Nothing, let's say, on a national scale, but you know they've really faced many daunting situations, and always tremendously positive and reached above whatever's going on. And I suspect that same, you know, inner strength and faith that they have is going to carry them through this as well.
Mm-hmm. Now I reported on my news. I don't know if you were online yet when I was reading this. But the Israelis commissioned a helicopter operation to go find one missing Israeli. It's customary for people who don't do traveling overseas that when you come to a foreign country, especially a third world country, the protocol is that you go to the first place you go is to the embassy or the consul, and you let people know that you're there, so that in case of something like this, people know to come looking for you. So there were, according to the news reports, hundreds if not thousands of Israelis who were trekking through the Himalayas, which they are wont to do after they get done with their tour of duty in the IDF. And from the beginning of the week until now, the missing Israeli reports has gone from hundreds down to one. And here it is, the Israelis are expending a tremendous amount of resources for just this one person. Talk about the importance of that, please.
I think it's also important to point out that these efforts on behalf of the Israeli embassy and Israeli government, everything is being coordinated together with and oftentimes through Chabad. Everything from the satellite communication with them. In fact, it was a number of months ago that, maybe even less, that Chabad began to distribute satellite phones to tourists, Israeli tourists. That way, in case something should happen, they should be able to be located. And those phones proved to be invaluable for them as well as for other people who were able to be located through this important link. And actually, whenever these people would call on their phones, it went directly to a call center in Israel. And then the information would be relayed to Rabbi Lifshitz in Kathmandu, who were able to coordinate the various efforts. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the Jewish belief that, based on, we read in the Bible, right in the very beginning, that Adam was created one person, and from Adam we now have however many billions of people in this world. And the Talmud therefore says, just like Adam was one person, it's in the same way. If you save one life, it's like saving the entire universe. And therefore, we Jewish people always have put a tremendous value on life, even the life of a single individual. Getting political for a second, this reflected in all of the lopsided deals that Israel carries out with its neighbors, in which they will exchange thousands upon thousands of prisoners for one Gilad Shalit. And that's because we don't, for us, one life is one life, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Okay, so now, if people want to contribute to the Chabad relief effort in Nepal, how do they go about doing that, Rabbi Menachem Posner?
Well, the best way to do it right now is to simply go online and type into your browser chabad.org/Nepal, which I'm just checking right now to make sure that it actually goes where it should. Yes, if you go to chabad.org/Nepal, you will be taken to a site where people can donate with their credit cards towards this important effort.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the money is going straight towards this effort.
Right. There's no nobody taking money off the top.
There's no overhead. It's all going there. That is the overhead.
Okay. I'm right now going to chabad.org/Nepal, and here I am. I am taken there, and it makes it very easy for people. And the Chabad Nepal Earthquake Relief Fund. I was hoping maybe there would be pictures and stuff, but I guess they haven't had it.
On this side, you will notice. We have the latest news as it's coming out of Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
It's been updated multiple times a day. In fact, it's Shabbos in Nepal now, so I'm not.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So there's not much coming out of there anymore. But just before Shabbos, they shared very exciting news that there have been people who they had been trying to locate to reach. All of Wednesday and all of Thursday, and they finally were able to bring them back with chopper them back to Kathmandu in safety.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what, and there was that, and then all the Israeli soldiers who were there to set up a field hospital came in to shower, to prepare themselves for Shabbos, and now they're in Shabbos mode over there.
That's a lot of hot water. 250 relief workers coming in suddenly and saying, "We want to use. Can we use your bathroom, please?" Yes.
Well, they're used to that kind of thing. And so that's what's happening right now. That was the last I heard before Shabbos, is that those people had been brought in, and the soldiers were in the shower. And
okay.
I guess we'll find out after Shabbos. Hopefully things should remain safe.
Indeed.
And quiet, and we should hear only good news from them.
Only good news. Okay, I want to thank you so much, Menachem Posner, for coming on and telling us about what's going on in Nepal.
My pleasure.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. It's really inspiring to know and to see that there really is goodness in the world, which is where this is all coming from. This is coming from the forces of good. We don't know why earthquakes happen. what the reason for them was. We could tell you that it's on a fault and things shift and this and that. You know, we could tell. I get a seismologist in here and explain that, but that doesn't explain why. That explains how. And we'll never know why it is that that earthquake had to occur. And we're not going to fault God. That would be ridiculous, as everything that happens is really meant and supposed to happen. Maybe, it could be, this is only conjecture on my part, that it is just to bring out the good in humanity when things like this happen. That's what we hope, because this is going to segue into our musical interlude. When I was a kid, there was a television show on, Telly Savalas, called Kojak. He played a real tough guy, a detective. And veritably, sometime in the middle of the show, he'd be sucking on a lollipop, and he'd look at somebody and he'd say, "Who loves you, baby?" And so we have the answer for that right now in this song. It's called "Hashem Loves You, God Loves You."
Sometimes you're feeling down, things haven't gone your way, so you're looking all around to find someone who'll save the day. One place you can't turn, who'll never turn you back. When you look to Hashem, you're always back on track, 'cause Hashem. No strings are attached to the love Hashem will show to you. Just gotta hold on tight, put your trust in Him, keep your head held tight, let your soul just start to sing. The Hashem loves you, you're His greatest pride. It's the Hashem loves you, He's always by your side. You can see it too, the good you have inside. It's up to you.
A different walk with confidence in your stride when you think of Hashem's love and you know you're always on His mind. There's a light you've got to shine, a job no one else can do. Hashem's given you the tools, now the rest comes down to you, 'cause Hashem loves you. Yes, you're His greatest prize. Oh, Hashem loves you, He's always by your side. You can see all that good you got inside. It's up to you. All you need is to decide.
'Cause Hashem loves you.
Yes, Hashem loves you.
You're His greatest pride.
His greatest pride.
Hashem loves you.
Oh, Hashem loves you.
He's always by your side.
He's always by your side.
You can see it too.
You can see it too.
All the good you have inside.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Schulfman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. I thought that the opening song that we opened with, was pretty cool. And so we're going to play the whole thing for you. This is Lecha Dodi by the Maccabees.
Do shameless Tiferes Vilisila Lichadodi Likraskala Pinei Shabbos Neka.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Brand new, just a couple of weeks old, actually. This is 613, which is the name of the group. And it's the song's called Chai, which means life. Let's listen in.
No, no, no.
Make it through the trial, because on this
unfazed and dutifully we march and carry on. We still believe Gamzeya Volodya. Our honor won't be sullied, our strength won't be slain, and soon will dawn a bright new
I go to a hospital to get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Time for some community announcements. The community is invited to a Lagboimer family event, Rain or Shine, featuring Gabby, who is a recording singing star. This is at the Yeshiva Menachem Mendel Lubavitch, which is 15151 Penn Mile. It's right across the street from the JCC. Storytime, barbecue, drinks, cotton candy, popcorn, fabulous prizes. And this is from 5:15 on Thursday, May the 7th. Let's see, I'm not doing these in chronological orders. Monday will be, we had him on last week, Germany 70 years later, Rabbi Yitzchak Mendel Wagner, 35 years old, is the first native-born German rabbi since the Holocaust. Be making a presentation at the Holocaust Memorial Center on Orchard Lake Road in Farmington Hills. It's free, open to the public, and there is a kosher dessert afterwards. Let's see what else, if we have anything else. Oh, this is very interesting. I might find out what this is more about. A Second Chance at Life, Partners in Care and Renewal announces a kidney donation education event Sunday, May the 31st, between 3 and 5 at the JCC in Oak Park. We'll be having two speakers, Rabbi Eli Mansour and Dr. Jason Denny. To RSVP or more information, call 248-JUDAISM. Interesting. Okay. And that does it. If your organization is having an event, well, drop us a line at rabbifinman.com and we will mention it here, God willing, if it's something like these type of things that we just mentioned now. And since we're talking about Lagboimer, on Wednesday of Lagboimer, Lagboimer is this week, and it is the, we'll talk about it in a second. Jewish Ferndale is having a Lagboimer barbecue beginning at 8 o'clock because the holiday begins at 9, and you're allowed to play music, and so we wanted people to play music, and it ends at about 8 o'clock. So we didn't want to like start it, say, on Thursday and then have to tell people, okay, go home. So like this, people can come, they can relax. It's $18 to pay for it up front, $25 at the door. For more information, go to rabbifinman.com. It's right on the home page. Today is Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. During the, when the Jews were in the desert,
God commanded them to offer up a Paschal lamb in the second year that they were there. There were two people who had come in contact with dead bodies, meaning the bodies of Nadab and Avihu, Aaron's two sons, who were precluded from entering the temple area because of this contact with a dead body. They went to Moses and said, "Why are we missing out? We were doing a mitzvah. You commanded us to go take care of us." And indeed, taking care of the burial and the needs of a dead body is tantamount in Jewish in Judaism. Even to the point where if the second day Yom Tov, which is rabbinic, is superseded by the needs of burying a dead body. You can actually get into a car and drive to a cemetery and dig a hole and bury a person and drive back on the second day of Yom Tov, because burying the dead is a Torah enactment, and the second day of Yom Tov is only rabbinic. So we were doing what we're supposed to be doing, and now everybody's celebrating Passover, and we don't get to. So Moses just said, "I'll be right back." He went and asked God and said, "Yeah, they get a second chance. They're right. They should have a second chance. And they will be able to do it in exactly 1 month after Passover." Not Passover per se, but the day before Passover, when people are offering up their Paschal lambs. So people get the chance to offer up the Paschal lamb again. And in fact, who is allowed to offer up a Paschal lamb a second time? If a person was sick and couldn't get to Jerusalem, a person was incarcerated and couldn't get to Jerusalem, a person who was too far away, like most of us are, and couldn't get to Jerusalem. So the advent of the building of the base of Mikdash, like right, if it happens right now, for example, guess what? We all go to Jerusalem, we also offer up a Paschal lamb first thing. It'll be wonderful. There's an advantage to the second Passover over the first Passover. You know, it's not a holiday at all. If it would be, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. We commemorate it by simply eating matzah today. So sometime during the day before it gets dark, have a piece of matzah. You can take that piece of matzah and you can stick it between two slices of bread. That's a tremendous advantage over, say, the first day of Passover, where bread is absolutely, totally, and completely to the slightest, littlest micron forbidden. And here it is, we have the amalgamation of the two. We're fusing these ideas of humility and arrogance into one idea. I'm going to talk about this more, which is what our story will be about. Whereas Passover is a lesson in humility because matzah is flat, it doesn't rise, and bread is very risen, it's full of hot air, which is, causes it to rise. So we, for Passover a week, we take a break, and we exercise our humility. And we go back to the rest of the world. Comes now, a month later, and we think, yay, I'm well into the chametz, I'm well into the leavening stuff, I'm like rising all over the place. We give you a little reminder. You didn't leave Passover a month ago. You brought it with you. The lessons of Passover are brought with you. And that's what we're doing today. And you always have that opportunity to take it with you, as the case may be in this instance. Thursday, Wednesday night, starting at sundown and dusk and going until Thursday, till at sundown, is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a respite in the Sefira. We don't play music. We talked about before, we're doing a cappella music now. And because of the plague which attacked Rabbi Akiva's students, 24,000 students died in a plague in a period of 33 days. Totally, completely unrelated to that was the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He did not die in that plague. He died many years later. And he left in his will that when he dies, he didn't want people crying, because he said, "I'm not going until I get everything done I need to do in this world. And if I'm gone, it means I finished. And if I finished, that's cause to celebrate." One of the statements attributed to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is that Abraham brought enough merit into the world by his actions in promulgating monotheism to keep the world going for no other reason until today, meaning in the times of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, the Zohar, the book that I wrote, which is the very basis of all esoteric and Kabbalistic writings, is enough of a merit to keep the world going in and of itself from now, from his time, until the advent of the Mashiach coming. So his job was to lay the groundwork for Mashiach, for Messiah's coming, to open up the portal to the very inner aspects of the Torah, the very deepest of secrets. And so when he said, I'm not leaving until I get all that done, a lot of work that had to be done. And now, so what we have with the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a celebration of Mashiach's imminent arrival and the giving of the inner aspects of the Torah. In a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating Shavuos. This year happens to be Memorial Day weekend, the 24th to 25th. And we'll have to talk about that beforehand because the show which will be broadcast on the 25th will be the same as the show which is broadcast the last day of, the first day of Passover, second day of Passover, where it's just music, which is what I do when Sunday falls out on a holiday. So the show is just music. Shavuot celebrates the giving of the Torah on Sinai. It was what we saw. It was the revealed aspects. Lag BaOmer is significant in its celebration of the giving of the Torah, the inner aspect of the Torah, the inner dimension of the Torah, the soul, the vitality within the Torah, you might say. How is it celebrated? Well, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai suggested bonfires. And in Israel, yes, there are bonfires and there are fireworks. And in the village of Meron, which is a very, very small town, everybody and their mother comes to Meron. It can be in years past, there's been up to 300,000 people have crammed into this tiny village on top of a mountain in the Galilee. And when I say tiny, I was there once. I had the privilege. It was wild. It was awesome. But when the holiday was over at sundown, I was kind of still walking around, checking it out. And by 11 o'clock, I could hear my footsteps echoing on the sidewalk. And someone telling me, are you sleeping here tonight? And I said, no, I'm going to Safat, which is the next town over. He said, well, there's the last bus out right there. And just barely made it to get back to Safat. Otherwise, I would have slept there because they rolled the sidewalks in. It is celebrated around the world by having barbecues. Yes, Ferndale will be having, Jewish Ferndale will be having a barbecue on Wednesday night. There's barbecues at the Yeshiva and at Chabad of North Oak Park, and all the Chabad houses all have their barbecues. And there's all kinds of things going around the town. You can probably just drive through Oak Park and roll down your window to find where the closest barbecue to you is. That's the deal. What is anything special about eating hamburgers or hot dogs cooking on a barbecue? No, it's got to do with this idea of celebrating by using a fire, because fire is energy. There's no real way that you can quantify fire. It's a combustion. It's combustion, which is the product of heat, fuel, and air, and then boom, combustion. But you really can't put your finger on it, quite literally, as to what it is. So that's what the inner part of the Torah is. It's sort of like the combustion of the Torah. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're running out of time. Don't go away. We've got a Hasidic story for you. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Or would you like to sign up and prepay for the Jewish Ferndale Lagbomer Barbecue? Go to the website, and right there on the homepage, you can contact me. You can sign up for the barbecue. And it's $18 up front, $25 at the door. You'll also find archived editions of the show, the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, and, of course, the donations page, which we talk about every week over here, because every week we need your donations. We, believe it or not, it's May. We are still struggling with March. They are very patient. I don't want to push to see how patient the Salem Communications is with me. I've never gone more than 3 months without paying. And we don't want to have the plug pulled. It's up to you. Let's go to the computer, go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, put in whatever amount it is. I made it easy. So you just click a number. It's all through PayPal. It's very fast and efficient. If you have a PayPal account, it takes less than 30 seconds to donate. And if you don't, it takes about a minute and a half. You have to enter your credit card information. It's all very safe and secure. And blessings will be disposed upon you, bestowed upon you by the Almighty, because this is, we are helping people by educating them, entertaining them, making people feel good about themselves, making you aware of what's going on in the world, acts of goodness and kindness like what's going on in Nepal. Go do it. Don't like using internet for donations? I understand. Send your donation at any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Do it today. Don't wait. Today's Pesach Sheni. It's a good day for giving extra charity. Go for it. We mentioned that Pesach Sheni is an amalgam of humility and arrogance. The Baal Shem Tov had many disciples. And those who were called from the Chevra Kedisha, the Holy Circle, were very prominent erudite scholars whose righteousness was above question. One such person was a person by the name of Pinchas Horowitz. He's called a Karnitzer. I'm not sure if maybe he was from the city of Karnitz, if there is a city, but he was called Pinchas Karnitzer. His name was Pinchas Horowitz. He was a contemporary of the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, the Mezuzah Maggid. Being that he was contemporary of him, he didn't come to visit him too often, because what do I need him for? He's going to tell me what the Baal Shem Tov said. I know what the Baal Shem Tov said. I was there too. In fact, Pinchas Karnitzer was there longer as a student of the Baal Shem Tov than was the Mezuzah Maggid, the Baal Shem Tov's successor. And he came to visit him. It was not for a Shabbos, it was for the middle of the week. Let word ahead, I'm coming on such and such a day. We'll be there around such and such a time. And this Pinchas Karnitzer was really into stuff, as you might say. He had a fancy carriage with four horses. This is like hoo-ha. That's not exactly a Mercedes in those times. That would be six horses. This was more like a good model Cadillac. And he was dressed, he had furs he wore, and everything was top-notch. And he smoked a pipe, a real fancy, Worshimer pipe. And he wore gold shoes. This is what you call a dude. And he referred to the Rebbe as Beryl by his first name. And he, after he left, some of the students of the Mezuzah Maggid took umbrage the behavior of this person. He, the Mezuzah Maggid, was the leader of the Hasidic movement, and who's this guy? He's so arrogant. The Mezuzah Maggid said, Pinchas Karnitzer is one of the most humble people that walks the planet. And he's so humble, he doesn't even want people to know that he's humble. So he hides his humility. Where does he hide his humility? He hides it in arrogance. You comment about his gold shoes, but you didn't notice that his gold shoes have no soles. He walks around barefoot. That's going to do it. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit.
Eat some matzah today. Eat some barbecue Wednesday night, Thursday. Have a great week. We hope to see you again next week. Take care.